And we're recording whenever you feel, I don't know, prepared.
Cool. Yeah.
Whenever you feel cool.
Ready to go.
Are you?
Snow on the ground here in Brampton. It's a winter wonderland. It's white. Is
Come
it
on,
down
seriously?
There?
Seriously? No, no, no. Come on.
No, it is. No, it, is. It is. It is.
We're not. We're not doing that. You know.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I had this big bush by the pool. This big, beautiful.
You have full, a big. I'm sorry. What? You have a big.
It's
bush?
Like a big bush. Like it's a big ferny type thing. It's beautiful beside the pool. It's just flattened this morning.
You don't want to play the "I have a big bush" game.
No, I use Manscaped.
By the way, when I get back from Italy, we're going to be having all kinds of Manscaped stories. And I have one. I'm test driving it right now. Dan Duran has one. And I'm not sure if he'll have to send away for like an extender attachment of some kind. But, you know. All right. Well, then, are you ready for the announcements? Faux Phil?
Oh, yes.
Here we go then, bro.
Every week I forget this.
Oh, you forget.
This. Oh, Hal Howard. Howard, help me with this. Howard.
The following episode
of Hummel and Fred is brought to you by The Chamber Plan, chamberplan.ca, bodog.eu/sports, GigSky, gigsky.com, The Retirement Sherpa, retirementsherpa.ca, and Doer Clothing. Doer, well, they're the pants supplier of the Hummel and Fred show.
They're Doer the official presenter.
Pants supplier, yes.
No,
In fact, if it wasn't for Doer, we wouldn't have any pants.
All right, buddy. They're the official, just when you're doing this, when I'm away, the official sponsor of Hummel and Fred's 10th anniversary and the world's most comfortable pants. You want to try that, little Bucky?
The official sponsor of Hummel and Fred's 10th anniversary.
Yes.
And makers, did you say?
And the world's most comfortable pants.
And the world's most comfortable pants, yes. And so they are.
Yeah, yeah. And so here we are. Adam Groh is back on our show. I'm not sure when the last time he was here. I do believe that a lot of the time that we spent talking to him last time was about shingles. He's the shingles guy.
Yeah, you had them, and I've had them, and he had a horrible case right on his face. Like, his eyes were shut with scabs.
It's no good.
No.
No.
And now that I've hit 65, the shingles vaccine, would that be a vaccine?
Yeah.
Would you call that a vaccine?
Yeah.
It's free. I should go take advantage.
You'll probably go back every other day just to get your money's worth.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that man's bag. Well, you said they're free. Give me my shingles.
Yeah.
When I get back, I'm going to get a flu shot, too, this year, I think.
Oh, good. Good for you. I might, too.
Rachel just got hers last week. Also, I'm going to get boosted when I get back.
Well, I went the other day, and Shoppers Drug near Drug Mart near me would have done me on the spot, but you got to wait 168 days. So I'm not eligible until December 3rd or 4th or something.
Yeah, I'm eligible right now.
Are you really, eh?
My God. Because I got my... Is it 168 days after your second shot or after your first?
After your second, I believe.
And when did you get your second?
June 6th or something.
Maybe I'm around the same time as you then. Welcome,
anyway, they would have done it, and they, like, it was only 10 days away or 13 days away or something, and I said, buddy, you can't just do it, and he goes, nah, he said, you know, that's the, we don't want to screw around with the provincial guidelines. Yeah. He said, it would probably be fine, but no, just come back. Well, he said, I'll do ya.
All right.
But just come back.
Mm-hmm. I was trying to say welcome, everybody, but you had more of your vaccine issues. It's good. I'm going to get it done, and I'm going to get a flu shot. And maybe in the new year before I go down south, I'll get a shingle shot, even though I've had shingles. Because that's the same logic that nitwits use. Well, I've had COVID, you know, so I, you know, you're not immune if you've had COVID, you nitwits. And I have a story. You let me know when you want me to tell it. You know, we'll just warm up a little bit here. And then I have a story about a pretty negative encounter with somebody that was not vaccinated, but they didn't tell me, which I thought, no, there's a bunch of different parts of this story, but the fact that this person wasn't vaccinated in a healthcare situation, didn't tell me. And then when I found out, I was like, well, our work here is done.
Ooh, we got to get to that.
But I do have some.
I love your confrontations.
Well, it wasn't a rule. Well, let me tell you, there's nothing about what I'm going to tell you that you wouldn't have done it basically by the same book. But I did have some great news for you, buddy. I wanted to start off this morning, or whenever people are listening. We're recording it in the morning. Do people know that? I wanted to start off with a little, some interesting news for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hang on, I gotta get
what would that be?
Well, here we go. Here we go. Can you hear that?
Yes, the I Love Lucy theme.
The I Love Lucy theme. And it turns out that they're making a movie of I Love Lucy.
What do you mean? About it?
I guess about it, but I was going to see if you could guess, or if
like
you'd like to guess.
Like a docudrama type thing?
Say again?
Like a docudrama type thing?
Don't know.
Oh, okay.
I just saw the star, and I thought, oh, I wonder what Fred would think of that.
Well, I'm excited about that.
So is there anyone off the top of your head that you think, oh, that would be, you know, cool for I Love Lucy, for Lucille Ball?
Oh, to play Lucille Ball?
Yes. Mm. Is there somebody like, oh, she'd be, again, I know I didn't give you much heads up about this, but I know that you love that series. And
No, again, not off the top of my head. And I could maybe picture people, but then I don't know their names. See, I'm not like you and Dan and other people where, as I said, it often amused me over the years. You talk about a movie and then talk about who the director was. Or I never really get into movies on that level. You know, later on, Quentin Tarantino maybe, and certain things like that. And then you got to know the name Oliver Stone and stuff. But even, there's a lot of stars. Like, people refer to people on Saturday Night Live, and I know their faces, but I don't know their names. And
well, I think you'll know this name. The it's a movie called Being the Ricardos, and it's a Aaron Sorkin movie, so you know it's going to be good.
Right.
And playing Ricky Ricardo is an actor named Javier Bardem. And you may know him as that frightening guy in No Country for Old Men. Swarthy looking guy. Did you ever see the movie No Country for Old Men?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was the bad guy in it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
I would have to Google and refresh.
Well, no, as soon as you, like, mm-hmm. he's a
I'm
name.
I'm sure
that
I will, yes.
You'd know his face.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't know, like, I'm looking at a scene here from the movie, and I don't really, you don't really get a good sense of him, but you do get a good sense of the woman playing Lucille Ball, none other than Nicole Kidman.
Oh,
have you heard
really?
Of her?
Yeah. Oh, I could see that. I could see that. Yeah.
Nicole Kidman says it was frightening to play Lucille Ball. I had massive trepidation.
Uh-huh. So this movie's been produced and made. It's going to be released soon, like in theaters, or is this some streaming thing?
Fred,
and it's the first I've heard of it.
The Being the Ricardos will be released. It was the first I heard of it.
Uh-huh.
Will be released December 10th. It looks like it's a theatrical. But honestly, you're putting me on the spot because I'm just reading this story. But I don't know if it's streaming or if it's a theatrical release. Mm-hmm. But it looks to me like it's a pretty big time movie because it's got, you know, Sorkin, this Javier Bardem guy, lots of big stars in it. I could give you some names again, people you'd know but don't know the names.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Well, I'll look for that.
Yeah, I saw that. I thought, oh, the Fred Man. What would he think of it?
I'm just so looking forward to, what is it? A week from Thursday when they release Get Back, the Beatle movie. Yeah. It's the shorts and the trailers and stuff I've seen. It's just, it's spine tingling. That's yeah, it looks the only,
amazing.
That's the only way I can describe it.
Did you know they released some more, a newer trailer this weekend, the last couple of days?
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. Is it good?
Yeah, it's amazing. The quality of the film and just the story that 50 some odd hours on a shelf in the basement of Apple.
I know.
Just sat there for years. And last night on 60 Minutes, Peter Jackson was on. And he found out about it. And he contacted them and said, if you want somebody to put this together, I'm your guy. He volunteered.
Really?
Yeah.
But don't you find as you express, isn't it curious that it just sat there all those years?
Yeah. And the idea was, the story, they had,
Do I know the story of the Beatles? Yeah, a couple guys from Liverpool.
They had, 3 weeks to put... They had 3 weeks to put 14 songs together for a live performance.
Right.
That was the whole sort of spin on it.
That was the spin on them film. Two questions. Why does it... I wonder why they allowed so much filming. Because it's part of the Let It Be legend is that they eventually... They couldn't find a venue, so they did it on the roof.
Right.
But cameras were rolling throughout that entire session.
Yes. It's crazy. And I can't wait for it. I just can't.
Did you hear McCartney on Stern this past week? He's got a book out. And the book is called Lyrics. Mm. And McCartney's book is basically how, talking about the significance, how the lyrics were created, who wrote what. But hearing him talk about things like Yesterday and how he just brought that song to the band fully formed, and the way the band heard it was there's nothing that we can do on that. So they just left it alone.
Mm-hmm. Well, on this, I think it was on 60 Minutes last night, how Get Back was born. It's just crazy. Paul got there one morning and was just riffing on his guitar with Ringo and George sitting around. John hadn't arrived yet. And he was just hammering away at it, this thing. And all of a sudden, emerges Get Back. It's just fascinating.
Yeah.
And then to see the clips of... most of the clips you see, they're in a good mood. They're having fun.
Well, yeah.
Linda's there, talking with Yoko and... Everybody looked happy. But anyway, I can't wait.
Well, if you're looking for something to read or think about for the holiday season, McCartney's book is called Paul McCartney Lyrics, 1956 to the Present. Might be something for you to check out.
Yeah, you can put a lyric together. There's no doubt about that. You know who else is pretty good with lyrics? And I watched the special last night with Adele.
Oh, right, yes.
I'm in love with that woman. I watched the entire thing. All her lyrics are all, she's troubled and she's hurt and she's regretful. I get all that, but still, the way she puts words together, it's just amazing.
How does she look? I haven't seen her live.
Stunning. Stunning. She lost 100 pounds.
Yeah.
She's stunning. Her face is just so... Oh.
It was always angelic.
Oh, yeah, but
she's always stunning.
Anyway, they had the concert, and it was some conservatory in Los Angeles up in the hills, and it was just a beautiful setting with the Hollywood sign in the background, and there were stars there in the group. Probably only a couple of hundred people there. Ellen was there, and I saw Seth Rogen, and who's the crazy cook? What's his head? The guy that yells at everybody for not cooking properly. Gordon Ramsay, he was there, and... a few others.
He yells at everyone for not. Yeah, what a great description. He yells. That guy that yells at everybody for not cooking.
Have you seen those Tide commercials?
No, I haven't.
Well, he does a Tide commercial.
I'm sorry.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
He's in the Tide commercial. Yeah, anyway, it's funny. Yeah, so anyway, it was really spectacular. I really, really enjoyed it.
That, now, is this a special performing her newest songs? Because I don't know any of her new songs.
It was a mixture.
Can you give me one of her new songs that you like?
Easy on Me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. That's probably the first radio track from that album, which is going to be released on the 19th, I believe.
All right, Humble and Fred. You know, this could have been us. Boom 97.3 mornings with Humble and Fred. You know what? Mm-hmm. I know.
There ain't no gold in this
room. Stu's doing a great job, but it could have been us.
That I've been washing my
Yeah, her pictures. And the reason I asked you how she looked is I've seen her in photos only. And you know, I know it's going to sound weird, but like her face doesn't look much different to me.
No. No, it's a little slimmer.
But it was always an angel. She has an angel. She has an angel's face, is what I'm trying to say to you.
You know, not to be critical, but it's... I just want the woman to be happy. Like, I mean, in between songs, there was an interview with Oprah Winfrey, and it's all about finding myself and being... battling anxiety and her divorce and... disappointing her child, and like it's like, darling, loosen up a bit.
Yeah, but Fred, you know, she's an artist, and these people,
I know,
you know, they're just different. You know, us artists are different. We're
of course, and well, she's talking about all these horrible things going on in her life. Her dad just died, and they were estranged, and
yeah.
Oh my goodness, on and on, and then I immediately go to celebrity
her net worth. I know, because that's such shallow. I'm disappointed in you. I do it all the time, but I'm disappointed in you. You know, I looked up one of our guests' net worth last week. I was going to pass it on to you. I'm so fucking shallow too. Is Rick Mercer? Because we were talking about like the success he's had in Canada,
right?
And I thought, what would that be? Now, I don't know how accurate the Canadian numbers are, but 10 million.
Good for him.
I'm not surprised. And I wouldn't be surprised if it was higher. But he made a lot of money for a lot of years, not only as a performer, but as a creator or executive producer, all those different avenues. But I would imagine that there's somebody in Canada of that level that probably has two times that, and that would be Brent Butt.
Really, eh?
Well, 18 years of constant network exposure and syndication, and well, why don't we try it?
Uh-huh. Sometimes it's hard to get the Canadian.
Yeah, that's what I said.
But I saw Adele, she's at about $180 million or something.
Seems low.
Mm-hmm. No, I know it does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But that's what it said.
It says here Brent Budd only has $2 million. I don't believe that.
You know, the funny thing, you know all about compound interest too, right?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, you know how that works.
Yeah. What about it?
I'm just thinking if you have... Well, even at our goofy little levels, I mean, if you invest properly, watching the compound interest grow is quite titillating. But can you imagine having... You know, hundreds of millions, and the compound interest must be like, how do you keep track?
Mm-hmm. Well, at 10 million or 100 million, it's not the compounding that is even your day to day. Sure, it just happens, but it's just the interest you make, period, whether it compounded or not. But if you had $100 million and you got, you know, decent 6%, that's.
Yeah, but who gives you 6% on a savings account nowadays?
Well, I'll tell you who would.
Who?
If you went to a bank and said, how would you like me to deposit $100 million? I'll take 6%, please.
Wow, really? When did you do that?
A lot of times.
Hey, just before we go, you know, we're talking about entertainment, and you'll get a kick out of this, and Lucille Ball off the top. Thursday, I'm driving down to South Carolina with a couple of buddies.
You're going to be this Thursday.
Yes.
Yes.
What did I say?
Well, no, I thought you made it like Thursday, like last Thursday.
No, this Thursday. No, because I was doing the show last Thursday.
I was here, yes.
But anyway, Thursday, driving down to South Carolina, and my buddy Darren, the guy who does the... that guy...
I'm sorry. Is it this me? This guy? Mm-hmm. So is this noise all the way to South Carolina?
Mm-hmm. Well, what happened? He found out that in Morgantown, West Virginia, I believe it is the hometown of Don Knotts.
No.
Right.
Come on.
And he found out that in downtown Morgantown, there's like a star on the street and a big statue of Don Knotts. And I mean, he's their hometown hero. So all I've been getting for the past week is facts and fun things about Don Knotts and how we're going to go and visit the Don Knotts Memorial or the statue or whatever it is.
What was the name of the show he was the deputy in?
Andy Mayberry.
Andy Mayberry.
Andy Griffith Show.
Oh, Andy Griffith. That's right. Andy Griffith.
So I've been getting all sorts of information about Don Knotts and Morgantown, and he was telling me how nervous he is that he's going to be viewing the memorial. And so I'm all in because I like that show too, and I love Don Knotts. One of the great characters in television history, actually. Barney Fife. So that's what I'm going to be doing while you'll be in Italy, looking at stuff like the Mona Lisa and shit.
Is that where the Mona Lisa is in Italy?
No, that's in the Louvre. That's in the Louvre, right? That's Paris, isn't it?
Yes. You know what? A part of me would rather be in some hick town in America with you guys and this noise.
No, that's the Louvre. You're going to be looking at the Sistine Chapel. That's it.
Oh yeah,
right?
Okay.
Yeah, right. Sorry.
You know, Don Knotts, and by the way, before I forget, I wanted to mention about, you know, when I met Ramsey, I was going through a real cooking phase.
Right.
You know, I was really into it, and all right, Darren. It was a thrill to meet the guy, and I was a little nervous for a couple of reasons. You know, when a bigger celebrity comes in that you don't know, and you know, you're always a little, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I'm just saying this for our listener. You know, sometimes Freddie and I, as many of these people that we've met, we still get a little bit, you know, nervous or whatever. Maybe nerves isn't the right word. You know what I mean? A little bit excited or you're not sure how it's going to go.
Right.
Many, many times, most of the time it goes great.
Right.
But in that particular day, I was kind of like this. I was working with Colleen at Boom, and our guest was Ramsey, and he came in, and I was kind of, at that time, I'd watched hundreds of hours of Hell's Kitchen, as you said, the guy that gets mad at people. I've watched all of his series, and I was kind of just on a little bit on edge, like, what's this guy going to be like in person? Is he going to start yelling at me right away? Because, you know, sometimes I don't react that well. But I've said this before, but I'm telling people again that hadn't heard the story. From the moment he walked in, for the 15 minutes he was in that studio, because of course we have to talk for a couple of minutes, play a song, commercials, and then talk again.
Yes.
He couldn't have been nicer. One of the nicest people.
Mm-hmm.
Most accommodating. I've said this before. He smelled amazing. He smelled rich. You know, he had some kind of rich people's cologne smell, you know, where they've been scrubbed by...
Right.
You know, people. And then when we asked him to do some liners for us off the air, he did his Ramsey guy. But in between, really, as they say over there, really a lovely, lovely man. Like a really good guy.
Well, that's his act, right?
Yeah. I guess it's stupid of me. But of course it's his act. Mm-hmm. Like he really puts it up.
Mm-hmm. And it's made him a very rich man.
What were we talking about just there?
Celebrity net worth, huh?
Yeah, what's he? Oh, he's got huge.
Mm-hmm.
What were we talking about just before Ramsey?
Don Knotts.
Responsible for one of my... Like, this is going to be embarrassing. One of the most frightening movies that I saw in my, you know, 1s to 10-year-olds was The Ghost in Mr. Chicken.
Right.
It scared the shit out of me.
Yeah.
I always found it very very scary. But I love Don Knotts, so I wanted to watch it.
How about The Reluctant Astronaut? How good was that?
I don't remember that.
Well, he qualified to go into space, and he was scared shitless.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. And then some of the classic moments from the Andy Griffith Show or Andy Mayberry, you know, as the deputy. and overreaching his power. It was brilliant stuff, Howie.
Yep. 1966. The Ghost and Mr. Chicken.
Mm-hmm.
He's a reporter, and he pitches a story about his small town's haunted house. When his editor, Dick Sargent, who was on Bewitched, insists Luther spend a night alone in the spooky mansion where a murder had taken place, the timid reporter learns that the house contains a supernatural resident who doesn't like visitors, and it scared the shit out of me.
Mm-hmm. And then, was it Three's Company that Don Knotts became Mr. Roper? Or no, Mr. Furley.
Mr. Furley. Was he first, or was Roper first?
I don't know. I don't either. Remember. But he played Mr. Furley on one of those sitcoms, a spinoff from Three's Company or something. I was never that comfortable with that character. It was a bit weird after the Barney Fife thing. But I'll tell you, he had a long and storied career.
Yeah, I never really liked that show that much. It wasn't my, my thing.
So, hey, the long and the short of it, later this week, I will be paying my respects to Don Knotts in Morganstown, West Virginia.
Well, that's very cool. I'll be leaving today. In a second, I'm going to tell you, this COVID protocol to leave the country is quite something. But one of the things I'm very confident is in my Doer pants. Doer, the world's most comfortable pants. Let me tell ya. Some news today. Designed for movers, Doer pants are built with technical design features. I'm wearing these Live Adventure pants or Live Adventure pants, and they're amazing. Tons and tons of stretch with street-ready styles and washes. Each pair supports a lifestyle of function and fashion. From Netflix binges to weekend scrambles, you know, I do it all. The biggest pitches and the coldest commutes. Doer has you covered early for Black Friday. I guess in the States, that's coming up November 21st. You can save up to 40% on the pants you'll never want to take off and that never go on sale. So now, this is precluding the promo code. So don't put in the promo code this week, because this week you can get 40% off all Doer pants. Go there now. Do it. Do Doer. Doer. Doer.ca, the official sponsor of Humble and Fred's 10th anniversary.
Well, that's fantastic. What an offer that is. My goodness. Hey, bodog.eu/sports is where to go to wager on your favorite sport. Tonight, for example, it's the Rams and 49ers, the Monday Nighter. The Rams, a 3.5-point pick. The 49ers pay $165 to win. Whether it's the NHL, NBA, Major League Baseball when it's happening, hey, any sport, anywhere pretty much in the world, you can wager through bodog.eu/sports. Horse racing fan, poker, casino player, it's all there, from their industry-leading odds, world-class sportsbook, and feature-rich poker room to their fully loaded casino and racebook. They've been providing Canadian players with an unparalleled gaming experience since 1994. bodog.eu/sports. By the way, Aaron Rodgers returned yesterday.
Oh, did he? Who are they playing?
They were playing... You know, and I sat and watched the guy.
It doesn't matter. I don't even care. I just thought you...
Anyway.
I just want to know if they lost or not.
No, he tweaked his knee, though, and apparently called his auto mechanic to be consulted. Yes.
Yeah, that's your... Yeah, I was going to say, what does Joe Rogan have to say about his knee? okay, well, this will be good.
What is the matter with me? I sat and I watched that game because I wanted him to lose.
Yeah, that's what I was... That's the only reason I asked you, by the way, is I want him to lose every game he ever plays now. Fuck him.
They won 17-0. They played... Oh, my God. Oh, Seattle. Jesus. That was a Biden moment. Wow.
How did the Buffalo team do yesterday?
Oh, they crushed the Jets.
And what's their record so far?
6-3.
Okay.
So anyway, let's hear this story.
Well, wait, before we get to the story of my COVID thing, you know, we mentioned that Aaron Rodgers, who gets all his advice from Joe Rogan, Let me see, because I want to make sure I get the wording right. But Joe Rogan was in the news this weekend.
Yeah.
Because he was in one of his shows.
Mm-hmm.
Just want to get this here. Yeah. So they were talking about something. I wonder if I can even give you the. Here it is. Joe, he was doing one of his round tables, and he was talking about. Here, I can play it for you. You see what you think of this.
I Jamie, spread my legs apart, ready. And I go head between the legs.
And you lift your nutsack out of the way.
Oh, no, he's talking about how super flexible he is. Okay, listen.
Well, I'm very flexible.
What pose Prove do you take? It. What pose? Legs?
I Jamie, spread my legs apart, ready. And I go head between the legs.
And you lift your nutsack out of the way.
Yeah, I can suck my own if I wanted to.
No, you cannot.
Super flexible.
You can't. No, yes. You cannot.
Bullshit. I gotta do yoga. Done it.
So he says, I can suck my own dick if I wanted to.
I just put it around my face just to know I could do it.
So, I hear
some
that.
Some guys get all the luck, huh?
Well, yeah. Now, I was going to save this story for you know who, but you brought up Aaron Rodgers, so I thought, okay, I'll just throw this in quickly. Because I've watched this clip, and, you know, he's saying that he's so flexible, he's capable of performing oral sex on himself. And then he says, I've never done it. This is the quote. But I've put it around my face just to know I could do it.
Hmm.
Really? And I said to Rachel, I said, really? I said, first of all, I'm not that flexible. I all the years of golf and whatever, I'm not that flexible. But don't tell me, Joe Rogan, that you just, what, put it around your face? Just around your face, Joe?
You're saying he probably did put it in his mouth.
What do you think?
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Yeah,
probably. I mean, how, you know, would be tempting, wouldn't it?
Here's the thing. Just don't tell me that you know that you could do it because you tweaked your chin with it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's Joe Rogan.
You mentioned you know who. He can do it standing up. Mm-hmm. Like a lollipop.
Like a lasso. He just takes it like a lasso. Anyway, well, we'll save that question for our anchorman. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy to report, by the way, I've been getting some good results. And to be honest with you, I've tried a lot of stuff and I'm doing it every day with my foot issue. And again, I don't want to make any medical claims because it's not fair, but I have been using this Genesis Pain Relief Light 2 or 3 times a day for short 10-minute sessions. As part of my foot therapy, and I went to a chiropractor that was recommended me by a friend of mine. She's a triathlete, and this chiro is also a runner who trains triathletes. Dr. Cindy's her name. She was great. And the reason I went to her is I thought, okay, she knows what to do as far as exercises, and so that was a great meeting. And then I went to this dude who is an osteopath. And what that is in simple terms is like a chiropractor that does a lot more sort of muscular manipulation and very, very aggressive adjustments. Let's just put it that way. That's what I mean, I know it's there. I know people listening going, osteopaths do more. But the person I went to, and by the way, I went there twice. So I went there a couple of weeks ago when this first started happening, and a lot of the reasons I'm having this trouble, and you sort of kiddingly said to me, oh, well, you know, blah, 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 stop golfing so much. But where these problems originate sometimes is in your hips get stiff, your back isn't moving like it should, and you know, all the way down to your feet. In fact, I remember when you were having your worst trouble with your back, you were worried about getting something called drop foot.
Yes.
Illustrating that your back issues and your chain, your sort of body chain can affect your feet.
Well, yeah, because with the back problems I had, you're always sort of impinging, if that's the word, on a nerve. And when it constantly affects the blood flow, eventually it can affect the nerve down in your foot. Yeah.
And I remember, and I'm being serious, talking to you, and you when you were telling me about this drop foot thing, It was sort of toward the end. You were at one of your lowest points where you were like, I just don't want to get this, you know, where you can't walk. So like that situation, my ankle mobility, my calf, you know, flexibility, my hips and my hip flexors all contribute to this stuff. So I went to see this osteopath, and he's a, you know, huge sort of Ukrainian Russian guy, really, really good. And lots of, you know, he was a check this out, an orthopedic surgeon back in the Ukraine, came here 20 years ago, couldn't get certified, you know, went into this type of practice. Seemed highly recommended, did a great job. And I left there feeling, I mean, it hurt. It was one of the most painful chiro type sessions I've ever had. And you've had chiropractic. Usually it's over in, you know, 5-10 minutes. Mm-hmm. This was in like a 45 minute session. And I left there feeling much better. So I go back on Friday thinking, okay, I'll have one more tune up before I go to Italy. So it'll help me walk. So I get in there and, you know, I'm laying there on the table and he says, do you feel comfortable? If you feel comfortable, take your mask off laying down. I'm like, okay, no worries. And he's got no mask on. And he starts to just do a couple of adjustments on my lower back. And very quickly, we're all of a sudden, I said something about, I don't know how COVID came up. But right away, he said, do you think people should have to tell if they're vaccinated or not? I said, yeah. I said, I'm vaccinated. Are you? He goes, well, I'm thinking about it. I go, excuse me? Oh,
Jesus.
This is a fucking doctor. I said, what? You're thinking about it? He says, yeah, I'm just not sure. You know, we have all the answers yet. I'm like, well, I am. And he's got like, honestly, his whole wall is filled with degrees. Mm-hmm. I said, what about your family? Oh, yeah, they're vaccinated, but I'm just not sure yet. You're not sure yet. And then I sort of stood up and said, so let me get this straight. You're not vaccinated? He says, no. And I said, well, we're done. He said, you don't feel comfortable? I said, no, I don't feel comfortable. And I said, secondly, if I'd have known you weren't vaccinated, well, I tell my patients, no, you don't. Because you never told me.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, put my shirt on and I left the office. I didn't leave in a big huff or a puff, and it wasn't a big confrontation, but I was literally... Mm-hmm. Fucking livid.
Mm-hmm.
And also disappointed and also curious. And I just didn't know what to do. I knew I'd talk to you about it, but oh yeah. He says, I'm not sure yet. You're not sure yet. Anyway.
Well, good for you that you left. And like, at what level is that information supposed to be disclosed? Like, I went and got my haircut the other day, and one of the first questions I asked, everybody's vaccinated, right? Oh yes. The guy who runs the place, quite insistent on it.
Yeah.
I asked, you think they should offer that information? I believe they should, absolutely, like a doctor.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that should be while you're filling out the form. So I went there mm-hmm. 10 days ago and filled out the forms. There should have been something on the form say, just do you understand that the attending practitioner mm-hmm. is not vaccinated? Because I spent a whole hour with him the first time because he did an assessment of my mobility right. and blah, blah, blah. And then we're, excuse me. Then on Friday, I'm in his office. He's got no mask on. I've got no mask on. I'm vaccinated. And I just was like, well, that's a bit irresponsible. And he says, well, I said, do you tell your patients? He goes, yeah. I go, well, I must have missed that because I would have never come here if I'd have known you were unvaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, it's too bad. And
how did he respond to that?
He just, you know, shrugged his shoulders. And I said, you know, and I just want you to know, it's too bad because I really think you could have helped me. I really do. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a different kind of treatment and I really felt a lot more mobile. And I thought, this would be great for the golf season. I'll go get it one of these adjustments because it's really, really extensive. And it's too bad. But I got to tell you, I was a bit shocked and I was kind of pissed off, but I was proud of myself that I just got the fuck out of there. As opposed to like, well, maybe it'll be all right, I guess.
You know, yeah.
And all I'm thinking of. I said that to him too. I go, buddy, I'm going to Italy in 3 days. Mm-hmm. How irresponsible for you not to tell me that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and this was the guy who said, yeah, I had it 6 months ago. I go, what are you kidding me with that?
Mm-hmm.
I said, I had shingles in my 30s. I can still get them again. I had it 6 months ago. He says, I had COVID. Oh, did you? Good for you. Anyway, so I don't know what to do. Like I said to Rachel, do I write him a tersely, you know, do I write him a letter? Or do I put something on his website or on a Google review or, you know?
Yeah, I don't know what to say.
Well, what is the responsible thing to do?
Well, you left, which was, did you have to pay for the session?
No.
That's what I'd be interested in.
No.
Oh, good. Uh-huh.
No, I should have asked for my money back on the last session, too.
Mm-hmm.
Endangering my life.
You know, it depends on how passionate you are. Yeah. Write a review. Let other people know. But that's, I don't think there's any, how do I put this? I don't think there's any regulation where you have to volunteer that information. Like, is there, if I miss something where the ministry has said, you know, doctors unvaccinated should tell patients before servicing them or seeing them? I don't know if there's anything like that.
I don't either. I think there should be. I mean, you'd think that would be sort of, you know, table stakes for the whole operation, especially... You know what I think it is? I just think you just assume that if you're going into a situation like that, like I didn't ask the hygienist and my dentist last week if they were fully vaccinated.
Right.
Now, I went for appointments when we all weren't,
mm-hmm.
you know, back in the early days. But I never asked them. I guess just assumed that they were.
Yeah. Well, I told you in the summer, too, I was in my boat over at the locks at Burley Falls there, and this guy come up to me and asked if I had any extra gas, and I said no, and he was sort of in a spot. He needed it for a generator because he was staying overnight. So then I went home, and I thought, you know, I should probably go help that guy out. I got a gas can here. So I drove over, and just before I left, Elise said, you should find out if the guy's vaccinated. So I drive up to where his boat was, and I said, hey, buddy, I said, do you have any cash on you? He goes, yeah. And I said, well, I'll take you for some gas if you need. And then as he approached the car, I said, are you vaccinated? And he said it in a weird, like in a really weird way, like, no, like it was stupid. And I said, well, sorry, can't help you. And I backed up and left.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't getting in my car. And then I'm thinking, oh, should I have taken the gas can? And I thought, no, screw it. And it was all in the inflection of how he said it to me. He said, oh, it wasn't, oh, I'm sorry, no, I haven't got around to it yet. It was like, and I think he was an American guy, to be honest. No, he said it like, no, like, why would I do that type mm-hmm. thing? So that was it. It was over at that point. I left.
Did we talk about the Fox thing? Or did we talk about that before the show that the Fox had their Patriot Awards?
Yeah, I love the irony in that.
Yeah, I don't know if I have the energy before Adam Grohe gets here, but there was just to put a point on the vaccination part of this discussion that, mm-hmm. you know, all the anchors are there, all Hannity and Laura and Carlson, all the anchors are there. And then I don't have it in front of me, but there was a copy of the invitation that was sent. And of course, the fine print says nobody allowed in without vaccination
mm-hmm.
status, fully vaccinated or results of a, you know, a recent COVID test.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're patriots.
Oh, yeah, that's probably the most unpatriotic news outlet in the United States. They don't care about the country. All they care about is their, you know, ratings. Gathering yeah. America's morons to tune them in every night.
Yeah,
but again, you know, it's funny the way they're spinning it too. As I told you before, I mean, they make no bones about it. They actually endorse. A lot of them endorse getting vaccinated, but they say it this way: get vaccinated if you're comfortable with it. We're vaccinated, like Andy. I'm vaccinated, and you should too if you're comfortable with it. If not, it's your body.
Yeah. It's funny how it's always your body until it comes with to abortion with these fuckers.
Yeah.
It's not exactly. Your body when it's abortion, mm-hmm. but it's your body if you want to lose your job because you're too stupid to get vaccinated.
I love this, too, about jobs. Like, and it keeps coming up, even here in Canada. Well, you're making me get a vaccination, and, you know, I'll have to leave my job, which means I won't be able to pay the mortgage and feed my kids. Well, I don't know about you, but I'd stand in front of a train for my kids. So if... keeping my kids fed and a roof over the head meant getting this stupid little vaccination, I'd go get it in a second.
Yeah.
So don't give me that argument either.
I read a lot of stuff on the weekend, pretty frightening stuff about the tribalism of America and where it's all headed. And I don't, you know, I want to wrap it up here because Adam's coming on, but I don't think we've even scratched the surface. I don't even think we've seen, you know, the tip. We're only seeing the very tip of this iceberg. Let's say hi to our friend Adam Grohl. You know what? He's hanging around. He's a good man, Adam Grohl. I bet you he's vaccinated.
Gig Sky guest of the day. Yes.
Why don't we do? I'll do that right away. You know what? Let's do this efficiently.
Do that? Okay.
What's that, buddy?
You're going to do that? Okay.
Yep, I got it, because you're doing Sherpa, Bodog, and Chambers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We just have to wait until we see, because he can't be the Gig Sky guest of the day until we actually see him. Ah, there he is.
There he is. Look at that.
Look at that beauty.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Before we introduce you officially.
Yeah.
Let's just tell everyone that Adam Grohl, famous host of Cash Cab, comedian, author, I don't know, a corporate host, father, husband, humanitarian. He works with the comedians. He's got like a shelter for wayward comedians. And he is also the Gig Sky guest of the day. Let me tell you something about Gig Sky, Freddie. Now in over 190 countries, the Gig Sky Travel Rewards Program has just been launched. Sign into the app for more amazing travel rewards. As well, of course, I've got the Gig Sky Hotspot. Come on, don't be nasty. I've got the Hotspot, taking it to Italy. It goes anywhere. You could also get mobile data by going to gigsky.com/aeromobile. And as always, download the app for Android or iOS. Put the promo code HF2021 for $5 off your first plan at gigsky.com. And there he is. Look at him. The sweet little angel man that you are.
Is that whole
lovely
back...
Lovely to see you, gentlemen.
It's good to see
you. Is that whole background virtual? Or is the brick and everything is all virtual?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm live from my home studio, inspired by Humble and Fred.
Oh, really?
Nice.
I've wanted a home studio for years, and I was so jealous that the two of you had your own spaces. And now you're in separate spaces, but it's still Humble and Fred.
Yeah.
It's still one unified studio.
You know, I don't know if you saw the little thing I put, because you had on social media on the weekend, we put a picture of Adam. And then Adam put another picture of himself, because the picture we put in of Adam apparently looked... Was that your high school photo?
That's like one of my first headshots ever done. You guys have it in your
I don't know where it came from.
Anytime I'm a guest. So I said, okay, just so we're clear, I don't look 12 anymore.
No, whatever. I know. Hey, can you just do me a quick favor? Turn your mic up just slightly. Or are you talking into your computer?
No, I got. I can turn it up a little
bit. Just give me about 5% more.
5%.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Bring it. Is that good?
Yeah,
that
much
good?
Better.
Okay.
So I responded. I don't know if you saw my response. I said, one of our favorite guests in the part of town where shit goes down.
I did see that.
Because there's, in the 10 years we've been doing this, and we just passed our 10th year anniversary. Look at that. There's a few people and few phrases that have stuck out. And early on in the podcast world of ours, that phrase, the part of town where shit goes down, was attributed to you, was it not?
I remember it. I remember I said it, and you, the two of you thought it was hilarious. But then the next time I was a guest might have been 7 or 8 years later, because that's, you know, the gap you like to have between when I appear. Then it was like you said, hang on, Grohl. And when I was a guest, you rolled it into the intro. Part of your built-in intro, like, you know, where shit goes down.
I was honored. Dude,
you know,
it wasn't 7 or 8 years. That's bullshit.
No, I know.
The last time you were on, let's get right to that. You were on, Freddie and I were talking about this before. Weren't you on because you were the shingles guy and shingles was his name?
No, it's been 2.5 years since I had shingles, but we talk about it, you know, like, and I still have people, friends and family that haven't had the shingles vaccine, you know, and it's interesting how easy it is to convince people to get the shingles vaccine than other relevant vaccines at this point in time.
I know. It's funny, like, isn't it?
I'm telling you, okay, so what do I need? I need to get COVID to convince you to get the shingles vaccine. I don't want to do it because that could kill you. But shingles, when I describe my experience with shingles, they're like, okay, I'm gonna get it. I don't care how much it costs.
And even when you say to them, and it doesn't mean you can't get shingles again, because you can, actually.
That's right.
You
know?
Well, that's so, again, there's some parallels there.
No, there is. But the thing is, get it, and your chances of it reoccurring are minute.
Yeah. Let me ask you, Adam. You're an entertainer, a really funny guy, former radio guy. You've had a lot of experience, and you're pretty intelligent. You're in charge of the Canadian Stand-Up Comics Association. But my question to you is, when they said, hey, Adam, we're going to give you a shingles vaccine, did you say, I'm not sure because I don't know what's in it?
That's right. What are the nano trackers?
That's right. Did you say, based on my experience as a comedian, I'm going to have to do some research?
I wonder if that guy, it's the osteopath, right?
Yeah.
Did he know that you were who you were?
Like, no.
Because sometimes people are all of a sudden a little bit more open about their off-center views because they think you're a comic. Oh, like you'll think this is funny.
You'll think this is funny.
Here's a really misogynist joke. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, and you're like, not so much.
But yeah,
nice try. You know,
I sometimes get this. I sometimes get guys telling me Jewish jokes, and I'm like, you know, that's super anti-Semitic, right? You get that? I know you're saying it to me, so you think you have some latitude.
Well, and they tell you knowing that you're Jewish, like.
Oh, yeah, you'll
Jewish.
Like this.
You might like this joke that insults Jews.
Absolutely. I've definitely had this. You'll like this joke. You know, you'll like this joke because, you know, Jews are cheap and they run the world. But anyway, yeah, it's funny how I've had vaccines. I've had shots. Fred got the shingles vaccine. I was just talking about getting the flu vaccine. And that, I know it's a hack bit now, but I still think it's interesting that one of the things people are like, I'm not Jew, it's in that. My joke is, I don't know what's in anything. I don't. I really don't. Mm-hmm. I honestly couldn't tell you the ingredients of fucking anything. Right. I'm dumb.
Have you ever looked at a bag of Doritos and seen the ingredients? Like, it blows me away. So much of what we put in our mouth in a day. It's to what you say, Howard. I have no idea what's in it. What is that shit?
I'm sorry, Adam. What were you going to say?
And it's just like natural flavor, artificial flavor, colors. And, you know, like you're not even telling us everything.
Yeah, right? I know. I think about
obviously because of Mike Ward and Dave Chappelle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's when I do expect friends and family and people out of the woodwork to come to me for my opinion to share their opinions about how devastating it is or on both sides of the spectrum. But then I think about the vaccine. Like, I had a really early bit that was on television about how I got a flu shot and I got the flu anyway. And what kind of quack medicine is that? Mm-hmm. And I think, like, if someone brought that out of the vaults and said, here's grow, anti-vaxxer, right? I'm like, you know, like, I'm going for a bit based on a premise, like, you shouldn't get the flu shot if you get the flu shot. Like, you shouldn't get pregnant if you're on the pill. Like, what kind of quackery is that? But, you know, so if someone was to complain that I'm promoting anti-vax, I say, well, you got to look at it in the full context.
Yes, right? Of course.
But you don't get an opportunity to do that. When you watch Mike Ward's bit or Dave Chappelle's special, that's the only context you get in terms of their opinion on the world.
But that's a good point because, you know, and the flu shot seems to be quite popular, but usually the efficacy of it is what? As low as 30, 35% some years because it's a crapshoot on what they're going to try and battle that particular season. And yet, here, COVID, the shots are, what, 85, 90% efficacy, and these people raise questions about it. It's hard to keep up.
Well, and I was doing a bit. It wasn't on TV, Adam. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a TV bit. But it was recorded. I was doing a showcase, actually. And for some reason, this bit was in it. But I was doing the bit about how when people say they are researching something, and this is a couple years old, and I said, what do you mean you're researching? You mean you Googled it? Because Rachel, right, my lady friend, when I first met her 4 years ago, she would say, well, let me just research that. And I'm like, are you going, is it a fellowship research thing you're involved in? Is there a group think tank you're going to? Because it looks to me like you're just looking up the restaurant on the internet. And that's what I think a lot of people thought they were doing when they were researching vaccine efficacy.
Yeah. They're like, Pfizer, Yelp, 4 stars.
That's right.
I'm going for it. TripAdvisor, Moderna.
By the way, here's a little here's some information that just came in about my visit to the osteopath. Someone said, it's Gord, Fred, one of our Humble and Fred fans says, hey guys, there's no obligation for any provider to disclose their status. There is also no provincial requirement that they need to be vaccinated. The obligation would be on you to ask, and they may choose not to disclose. Again, there's an assumption I guess I had. I assumed when I went to the dentist that everyone was vaccinated, although I don't know. And this partly, I guess, now is my responsibility. I should have asked him on the first visit. I just assumed that and found out that that was not the case. You know what I should have done? I should have researched it.
Yeah. Get Rachel on it. Yeah, could you do a little bit of... I need a fellowship in a hurry for this afternoon, if you could.
Could you get me a grant to find out if Holy Chow is still in business?
Hey, grants. I have to throw a plug now. First yes. ever comedy grants available. Yeah,
Adam, tell us what you've been
ever. Ever. Like, it's not a huge amount in the pool, but it's the first time ever through the Foundation for Canadian Comedy, which I've co-founded. I'm on the board with a number of people. So it's CanCom. And because we've never had comedians recognized as an art form in the history of this country before, we've just done it. We've just kind of created a grant program. And for the first time ever at a national level, comedians can apply for funding for a project as comedians for the full spectrum of the work they do, as opposed to trying to work around the system and apply as a theater artist or a literary artist to get something that might help them with what they do for comedy.
Well, congratulations. So we're really proud of that. You should be. I mean, it's a long time coming, and you think about all the grants that are available for indie filmmaking and other forms of entertainment, and stand-up comics have never had that opportunity. But give me an idea, as a comic, what are some of the things that somebody could apply for? And is there a senior's discount for the older?
Right. You apply on Thursday at Shoppers, and you'll get the
discount. While I'm sitting there getting my blood pressure done.
Yeah, so, well, this particular pilot program is designed for a digital outcome because we're living in the pandemic still. And, of course, the digital media landscape is really important for, any artist. So this particular program is designed, it could be anything. You could be performing live on stage. For instance, it could be a comic who's never, doesn't have to be an emerging artist, could be a comic who's never had a televised special before. And they need a little bit of seed money to help them set up a theater rental and hire a crew and edit it properly. They've never had some good tape to sell themselves to get booked. So that's a produced outcome. It could be someone who is applying to a larger, like there's an ecosystem out there for comedy that's fantastic, but there's nothing at this level or this void that's never been filled. So a sketch troupe or an improv troupe or a comic that's got a web series idea and they want to apply to the Bell Fund or the CMF, those bigger ones with millions of dollars. And what happens is usually when you apply for those big bucks, they go, well, show us a little bit of what it's about. So to make a little sizzle reel, you might need $2,000 to make something that you can shop around your show to production companies and get in a deal.
That's amazing.
Never been accessible to comics before. And so that's what it's open until November 20th. And by the way, also, and this, you know, I know you've got, you know, listeners around the world. One of the other things that we're doing on behalf of the Tim Sims Encouragement Fund is assessing one of the Tim Sims winners. So this is a prestigious award for an actual emerging stand-up comic, improv artist, or sketch artist that works in Toronto, but it's known in the comedy community. It's been around for over 2 decades. I think they had the Cream of Comedy was televised before. So CanCom's helping with that as well, because we already had peer assessors coming together. And so we're working with Tim Sims and the Ontario Arts Foundation to do that as well.
Excuse me if I missed it. Where does that money come from?
Exactly.
Well, you know, the idea is it's a trade association, CanCom, and we're trying to bring in public funding in a way that's never been brought in before, but we are running into roadblocks. Heritage Canada, Canada Council for the Arts, provincial arts councils don't recognize comedy as art form, so there's no channel for it. In fact, Quebec is the first province or territory in the history of Canada that has recognized comedy as an art form, and that just started last year. So we're not able to get public funding money, so we've got people on the board, and we're trying to, you know, go into the network. We've got, you know, Andrew Barnsley, for instance, executive producer on Schitt's Creek, is on the board of directors. Michael O'Farrell from On Vivo.live, which is a Canadian startup platform. So we've got, you know, Jeff King, former CEO of SoCan. So we've got people in the industry trying to assemble other like-minded investors. Yeah. So it's private money. Mm-hmm. It's private money from sponsors that come in and go, we believe in comedy. We Canada's a comedy nation. We can't believe it's never been like this before. And, you know, we're
going to... But isn't like, the, like, excuse my ignorance, but all those funds, the CTF fund, all that stuff, that's government money. And isn't there a place for Canadian comics to apply for government money?
Well, and this is the roadblock that we've faced all along. So Heritage Canada is the big federal level. And Heritage Canada says, we do support humor. We have this thing called the Canada Arts Presentation Fund. We give millions of dollars to arts presenters, which is fantastic. Arts presenters are like Winnipeg Comedy Festival, Halifax Comedy Festival, Just for Laughs gets millions of dollars.
Oh, do
and that's for arts presenters
yes.
to present comedy, right? So that's money that, you know, and then they're the curators of who gets booked. So, you know, does it fit their brand? You know, some of them are a little right. bit better it's, about, you know, diversity in terms of.
Understood. That, but those are sort of closed shops. Those aren't anyone can apply opportunities.
Right. Yeah, and so it. then they say, and we also give money or opportunities for artists to apply for grants through the Canada Council for the Arts. And I've met with them in person in Gatineau on a number of occasions. And we're trying to get comedy as a field of practice. And they go, well, you can apply. Comedians can apply. Well, when you go to set up a profile with the Canada Council for the Arts, you have to pick your field of practice. And comedy is not one of them. So right. if you want to, even to apply for a grant, you have to pick your field of practice. So what do you identify as? Well, I'm a comedian. Well, that's not an option. Try theater artist or literary artist or mm-hmm. spoken word artist. And then when you look at the criteria that you have to meet to satisfy those, a comedian who's been working for 20 years in the clubs has no theater experience. So they don't even get a profile. So how do you apply for a grant if you can't even set up a profile? Now, I'll wrap up my rant by saying there are many theater artists that are also comedians who are successful. And the Canada Council for the Arts has been extremely valuable for those kind of crossover artists. But the yeah. vast majority of improv, sketch, and stand-ups that don't have that specific Canada Council for the Arts experience can't apply.
Yeah, but you're talking about, and that was great, by the way, and I'm glad you brought that to us, because I think the last time we did talk to you is at the end of our time at Sirius, and all that stuff was happening with Just for Laughs, the channel, and you guys were setting things up. But a lot of those artists that did get money are stand-ups that put on one-person shows in little theaters, so they became theater artists, but they weren't getting the money for being stand-ups. And you know, I think it's great that yeah. you're doing that. You know, I went back to a club last week for the first time in 20 months, and you know, it's filled with young comics. And but it was, yeah, it was a crazy experience.
I haven't been ready yet. I've been doing a ton of virtual online events. It's been a big boom, and I was going to get hybrid stuff.
Because I've done a couple online nervous. Events that were dreadful, but I'm sure the Adam Grow trivia show translates well. Like, I did a Christmas party and all that stuff online. It was awkward, but going back in that club, that feeling about five in the afternoon, you know, I was on stage at 7:30. At 5 p.m, I said to my girlfriend, I said, I have lost my peripheral vision. Like, I was just could feel it all just closing in again, you know, that sort of focus. But let's talk about why you're here today, my friend.
Yes.
Beside all of that, Adam Grow still working online. And as I said, the whole trivia thing that began with Cash Cab has become your brand. Let people know, you know, kind of what you've been doing. Remind us of what you really do for a living.
Well, pre-COVID, I was mixing stand-up comedy and trivia into a live quiz show. And so when the pandemic hit, I was like you and everybody else going, well, what do I do now? And I just kind of slowly transitioned online. And now I've got a full-on turnkey production. I work with other producers when it's a little bit more of a sophisticated production, but I can produce in my own virtual studio in the cloud with guests and, you know, all sorts of graphics and overlays, a fully produced television show where online attendees can watch it. And I'm asking questions. I'm doing other activations, but it's mostly trivia. But I've got a selfie pick collage and escape room clues and sketch collage and real time. It's like this app that I've licensed on the side allows people attend event, watch my trivia show with a couple of key stakeholders on screen, and then play all the questions on their phone as they watch for points and prizes. So it's pretty amazing. I didn't set up the phone for you gents. I do have questions because I understand, Howard, that you're going away in a few days.
Yes, let me get the music. I've got some nice... I'm going away today, buddy.
Oh, it's like now.
Like,
oh,
I'm leaving I'm going to be going to the airport in about 6 hours.
And is this your first time to Italy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Back to the homeland. Back to the mother country.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Back to the homeland. My homeland is Moose Jaw, Gro. You know that.
Yeah.
All right. So here's some Italian music. Adam, what do you need from Fred and I?
So I've only got 7 questions. If we get through them, great. If we don't, you just let me know. But they're questions to inspire your itinerary.
Okay.
Oh.
While you're in Italy, and you can work with Fred for support on this.
All right. Because Fred's been there many times.
Okay.
Well, I'm sorry, Federico.
But maybe
Fredo.
Yeah, maybe
Fredo's been
maybe
there.
Fredo.
Fredo's been there twice. Yes.
I had the
carbonara.
So the first question is, and you know me, I always have a bit of a leap off point, but nonetheless, on May 22nd, 2010, the first official documented purchase of goods using bitcoins took place with an exchange of 10,000 BTC for 2 of what kind of item thought to have been invented in Naples, which might be on your itinerary?
Ice cream and pasta.
Pizza?
Well, they're two of the same items. 2 duplicates.
Oh, okay. Mm. Well, now I was thinking Napoli.
Pizza?
Pizza? I'm going with Fred's answer, pizza.
Pizza is correct, yes.
2 pizzas were sold?
And in 2010, and that's why May 22nd, 2010 became Bitcoin Day, because it was the first purchase of anything. So 2 pizzas, 10,000 BTC in 2010 was worth $41.
You know, I barely get my head around Bitcoins. And then I read some article this week about NFTs again, and I'm like, I'm done. I'm too old for this.
Who was this early adopter that accepted the Bitcoin for the pizza he made? Wow.
Yeah, I got to think of that. He's probably regretting it. He probably should have banked it and kept it, because 10,000 BTC now is worth over $270 million.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
So are you going to Naples? That's
no, I'm going to Venice today. I'm actually going to London tonight, Venice tomorrow. We're going to stay there for a few days. Then I'm going down to Florence to see a guy that I've gotten to know, one of our sponsors, Health Gauge, and his name is Tim Daniels from Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. He moved to Florence years ago, so we're going to hang there. And then I'm going back to Venice, and I'm coming home in 10 days. She's going to be there for 3 weeks.
Okay, so hang on. Florence is on there. Now, it's said that Leonardo DiCaprio is named Leonardo because his pregnant mother was in a museum in Florence, in Italy, looking at a Leonardo da Vinci painting when little Leo first did what?
She was pregnant. First kicked.
Correct. Yes. So you're gonna. They probably have a DiCaprio painting right beside Da Vinci, and that's at Uffizi Gallery in Florence. So
okay.
You put that on your itinerary. Okay.
So that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. His third time doing so to an opposing player during the 2014 World Cup, Luis Suarez bit what Italian player?
Oh, I don't know. Is that allowed in soccer? In football?
According Biting? To Luis Suarez, yeah, he's done it 3 times.
So. Do you know this question? Fred, you're the sports guy.
No.
Over to you, Gro.
You know, I remember the incident.
Do you?
But I don't know the names. I don't know.
And we'll see. Maybe Team Canada and Mexico, there'll be some biting on tomorrow.
Yes.
When they met up. Sorry, saying. Giorgio Chiellini.
I would have never got that, no.
Born in Pisa. Is that on your itinerary?
It is not.
No, I've been to Pisa.
Too touristy, Fred?
Quite the disappointment. Number one, the actual tower is a lot smaller than you think.
Like, how small?
You get really tired of people taking pictures pretending they're holding it up.
Yeah.
You know, they put their arms up like they're pushing it back into position while somebody takes the shot. I prided myself in not doing that.
But with things like that, like, how do you not do that? Even though everyone's done it, how do you not do it? What does that say? Because you don't want to be one of the people that, you know, it's too trite and touristy. Yeah.
It's weird there too when you go. There's all sorts of food trucks and souvenir trucks and everything. A few things in Italy when you get there, you think, wow, I thought it might be a little more sort of organic than this. But
to answer my question, how big is it? How tall is that tower? I won't be seeing it, but how tall is it?
Not very big, like a
couple stories.
Yeah, like, you know, you get the idea that it's a tower. Well,
right.
Yeah,
it's like a shed.
I
don't know what to say other than it's not as big as I thought it would be.
It's like a leaning shed of pizza. Is that what it is?
Over 10 years with the Humble and Fred radio show, and this is the first time Howard has asked Fred, how big is it? That's unbelievable.
Oh, no, that's not. Yeah,
we usually save that question for Dan Duran.
Yeah. Okay, Adam, give us one more, and then we're going to have to let you go because we've got Dan Duran standing by.
Okay, hang on. Let me get to, this one controversial question. Former Prime Minister of Italy, Silvio Berlusconi, used to have controversial parties at his villa near Milan. Is that on your itinerary?
Milan.
Okay. Milan. So he had these parties, and because of a racist joke that he used to tell publicly, the media nicknamed these parties what?
You know what? I've actually heard of this. They nicknamed them something dirty. Is it something dirty?
Well, the joke is racist, and I hate to make it an earworm for you if you know the joke, but it's bunga bunga. The bunga bunga, bunga party. Bun.
Yeah.
It's a classic, disgusting, racist joke, and you're welcome.
Well, I can assure you that Fred nor I have been ever invited to a bunga bunga party. Listen, man, I always look forward to you coming on, and it's been too long. Thanks for coming on and doing a little of this with us, the Adam Grow Trivia Show. How do people get a hold of you and book you, sir?
AdamGrow.com.
Wow. AdamGrow.com. And this is what he looks like. You look great, man.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. You too. Safe travels. Thank Fred, you. Good to see you as well. Always a pleasure. And I appreciate you giving me some time to rant about the stuff that's special.
You know, Adam, if you ever need anything to do with that, anything I can help you with, let me know, okay? I don't know what that would be, but if you need some PR, you want us to promote something that the guys are doing, or let us know, okay?
That'd be amazing. Thanks, James.
Thanks, Adam.
Good Adam to see Grow, you, buddy. Everyone. AdamGrow.com.
Right on.
Freddie, while Adam is leaving, we're getting ready for Dan Duran. Might you tell us a story or two about
the Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan, Canada's number one groups benefit plan for small business. It really makes sense if you're a small business and you're in a position to give your people some security, some benefits. Go to chamberplan.ca today. Get a free quote. It's all there. It doesn't matter how big your business is. They can provide you with something you're comfortable with. Oh, yeah. From 1 to 50 employees, there's a deal for you. Prescriptions and dental and the Teladoc system. All sorts of therapies depending on what level you buy into. Also, if you go to chamberplan.ca today and get your free quote, all sorts of testimonials. The name of people, the names of their business, and how the Chamber Plan has worked for them. Take the time today. Do this for your people. Chamberplan.ca.
I'm just sending Tim Daniels a note in Florence because I realized he and I were going to talk this morning, but I'm not going to be able to.
You know, I last time I was in Italy, I went to Naples, and when we rented a car in Rome, they told us when you get to Naples, your insurance isn't valid. They will not insure a car in Naples because of the car theft. It's just crazy there.
Where was it? I want to ask you about, where was it you guys went, maybe it was Naples, where you were, four of you in a small car. I want to make sure I get this right. And you, it was so narrow and so, you just decided to park
Amalfi.
The car. Amalfi.
Yeah,
you decided to park the car and just leave it.
But in Naples, so we drove into the town, and you have to find a secure place to, again, park your car and leave it behind gates, because the whole time you're there, your car's not insured.
Wow.
Which can be a little nerve-wracking.
Yeah,
on a holiday,
I guess.
You're preoccupied with that shit, you know?
Again, I've never been to Italy, but I've been to the south of France recently with Charlie when we were there a couple summers ago. We rented a small car and we went to a small village outside of Nice. And I found the streets impossible to navigate.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point when we were ready, we'd been there a couple days and we just did that. We parked the car and just walked.
Right.
And when we were ready to leave, I couldn't find my way out. It was... because they're so narrow and you can't pass and they're all one way. And I was getting a bit frustrated. I just found it hard to navigate.
Well, on the Amalfi, there was one point, I think when we were leaving, a bus on a bend couldn't navigate the bend. So we're all like jammed up, and then somebody has to get out and sort of direct traffic to back up a bit so the bus can back up and go around the bend. And again, it's nerve-wracking. It's a dimension to a holiday that you really have to be prepared for if you're driving, especially in Europe. Or in
I'm glad I'm not driving this trip. I mean, we're going to be in Venice for the first few days. Then we're going to take this train on Sunday to Florence, where we're just also going to be walking around. And thank goodness I can. I'm starting to be able to walk a little bit, you know, less painfully with all my many shoes. You know,
the one thing about driving in Italy, they drive on the right-hand side. So unlike Britain, where you're totally disoriented.
Oh, you know, it's funny. When I was there last in Europe, when I went to Scotland for the Scottish Open in 2017, and I drove on the wrong side of the road, you know, and I drove a stick shift, which I loved. But you'd be surprised. I thought that would be a problem for me when I got in the car at the airport there. I was like, oh, shit, I didn't realize it wasn't an automatic. But I just dicked around with it for a bit. But you just sort of get it. I mean, the clutching, braking thing, that came pretty easily. But after a while, you know, I had a couple of miss. Usually where I would have trouble is just having to stop and think, okay, where am I turning? What's the lane I'm turning into? But once you're driving, after a few, you know, a day or so, I was fine.
I drove from a place called Leighton Buzzard to Heathrow Airport in rush hour one morning. I think it's on the highway called M1 or something. Yeah, you get used to it pretty quick.
I drove from Prestwick, where I was near Prestwick, through Glasgow to Edinburgh on highways through the city. And that was after 3 days of driving this car. And I found it, you know, after a while, it just becomes intuitive. Let me just say about Tim Daniels, who was on last week talking about Health Gauge. And what a great thing this is. You know, I mentioned about going to Shoppers to get my blood pressure done because it's fun. But it's also the same reading I get on the Health Gauge. Get the Health Gauge Genesis. That's what's available now. I'm sorry, the Phoenix. Go to healthgauge.com. Of course, it's no secret. Everyone knows what the, you know, the promo code is here. Oh, that's not it. Boy, if I only had a mouse. Shut up, Dan.
I have a Humble. I have a Fred.
Oh, I just can't wait.
Humble Fred HG.
Humble Fred HG.
I have a Humble.
Get you 15% off at checkout when you go to healthgauge.com.
Humble Fred HG.
I like it.
All right. Well, it was inevitable. We were going to get to this point in the show when this beautiful man steps up to the microphone.
Now, here's to a fella named Dan Duran, a hell of a guy with a hella big wang, the quintessential anchor man. His voice is nice and low. Huh.
Dan Duran, the anchor man, comes. As for credentials, he has none. Can't tell a headline from his bum, but his voice is nice and low. Dan Duran, the anchorman's here. He's prone to falling off his chair, but he's got a big wang, so he don't care. And his voice is nice and low.
My voice is nice and low.
And now with breaking news and views, live from Dan Duran Lake, here's Humble and Fred News.
Today is National Clean Out Your Refrigerator Day.
I wasn't finished introducing you.
Oh, really? That's grand.
Fine.
My apologies.
Go ahead. No. I had about three more things I wanted to say about you. But
really? Well, keep going. Well, I'm not one to stop you.
No.
Celebrate me. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and we're hoping to find out at the end of this newscast if he has the same ability as Joe Rogan.
Today is National Clean Out Your Refrigerator Day. To celebrate, discuss stale dates, best before dates, it's best before, Colton, not after. And mold with your significant other, and then start in with the germiest part of the fridge, the crisper.
By the way, germs. You're staying here for the next couple of days.
Yes.
And I cleaned out all the things in my fridge that had expired or were going to expire.
No.
So there's nothing left in the fridge. We'll have to talk about your food needs while you're here.
Replenishing the supply. Well, I can do that. I mean,
I've got a question for you guys at the end of this, Dan. But please continue.
Okay. If you need to kill someone, maybe don't Google for a hitman.
No.
The owner of a website titled Rent a Hitman called police after a woman filled out a service request form and asked for a consultation with a professional to help her with an issue regarding her ex-husband. Now, the domain was created as a cybersecurity test site. It wasn't really a serious website, but the owner was then concerned the woman was serious about the whole thing. So he called police. Police showed up. An undercover officer posing as a hitman met with her in a parking lot. She offered him $5,000 to kill her husband and did a down payment with for expenses and travel, you know, for all the travel deal and stuff. So immediately following that, she was arrested. Now, that all came from a Google search, so, you know, maybe don't do that, and maybe don't hit websites like Hitman R Us or Uberhit or NiceToHitYou.com or Hit Dash, any of those places. Maybe not the place to go.
You know, if you're going to research a hitman, maybe don't do it where people can see your research history.
Find a dark alley, for crying out loud, and start asking questions some people, there.
Some people are just so dumb. Eh?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, Barney Fife. All right, Dan Duran, do you have a second story?
Sure. Is there second story music, or should I just move in?
Oh, hang on a second. Let me give you some.
All right.
No, I just was looking at a comment on Facebook about Joe Rogan. Someone says, Joe has a ton of money. No need to give himself a BJ. Not the point. Not the point.
I think that's someone trying to be funny.
Yeah. Dan Duran, evening news theme. Here we go. And now more Dan Duran news.
If you've had a vaccine, anti-vaxxers are recommending you take a bath in... Borax. An osteopathic doctor, her name is Carrie Medij. She's a nut bar and recently claimed in a TikTok video that's getting all kinds of coverage that she's recommending a standard bubble bath. Rather than a standard bubble bath, have a bath including baking soda, Epsom salts to remove the radiation, bentonite clay to pull out the poison, and one cup of borax to take the nanotechnologies out of you.
Man, so these people love their disinfectants.
Yeah, so fairly. A lot of the anti-vaxxers are moving on because, you know, there's not so many people that haven't taken the vaccine. So, you know, if you're going to, you know, continue on, you've got to make yourself relevant. And this is the next level.
You know, I'd love to know the percentage of anti-vaxxers that, like, it's a business decision. Like, you know, this sounds like this woman has come up with that to somehow sell something or promote something. You know what I mean? There's got, because people with normal brains in their head, you know.
Well, you're right. I mean, how the whole nanotechnology thing, I mean, that's just so far out that who is going to believe that? I mean, there's obviously some, but...
There's people out there that they can prey on the simple-minded, and they come up with this shit like to make money. They don't believe it one way or the other.
I agree. There's a grift. Yeah. You know what? Yeah. Most people, all the way up to the giant anti-vax ass Donald Trump, a lot of what's going on in the Republican Party is to raise funds. You know, there's a reason that people like Mitch McConnell and other nitwits are worth 20 and 30 million on jobs that pay 185 a year because, you know, raising money is the reason to be elected. And that's all they're doing is preying upon the people that will help them raise the most amount of money.
But again, that's nothing new. There's many, many Democrats in government.
Oh, no, absolutely.
That are worth inexplicable millions.
Absolutely.
And those questions are never raised, really. It's weird, man.
100%. It works on both sides. I got this Michael Flynn clip I was going to play, but I don't want to get into it. I did want to say yesterday I did my first COVID test. I'm not sure. Dan, have you had one yet?
Yeah, I've had a whole bunch when I was
working on
a film shoot or whatever, right? You have to take them. Yeah.
My daughters have had them. My brother Steven was the COVID protocol producer on, you know, multiple shows before the vaccination, after the vaccination. And so he kind of talked me through the process. And I would say this. I thought, and Dan, since you've had one, I thought it was a lot more intrusive than it turned out to be. And I asked, I was talking to Charlie and Spencer yesterday and asking them about it. And they said they have both have had tests where it went way up your nose. And I was sort of anticipating that because we had the PCR test, which is, I don't know, I guess it's required. It's the more expensive test. It's about $160, $180 bucks. But they just sort of swab the inside, not that far up your nostril passage.
I think they modified the protocol with the
so
with
what
the test.
Have you had yes, one where did, it went yeah. way up there?
Into your brain, no. And I was doing the, I thought the exact same thing, Howard, when I showed up there, the little booth and the lady, and I was, and she says, it's just going to be like a tickle. And I said, yeah, I've heard about this. She says, no, we don't put it up in the brain anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for that particular test, they don't do that. They don't have to go so deep.
What costs $160 to do that?
Getting it to the sent processing? To a lab. Yeah. I mean, I had the results by, I think I didn't look at my phone, but I think it was 10 o'clock last night. I don't know, man. It's an office. It's a lab. But that point aside, you know, years ago when I was having some trouble with my throat, I went to an ear, nose, and throat doctor, and he puts a, I don't know if you've ever had this, either of you, but it's a camera. It's a thin, probably the size of a cord like this, and right. it goes up your nose and then all right. the way down the back of your throat, and they look down your throat. And I was sort of, and I've had that a couple of times. It's uncomfortable, but it's not, it's just weird. It's like you can feel something in the back of your, down your throat, but it's odd how he just feeds it up your nose. So I was kind of expecting something up that high. And as I said, it just sort of tickled the inside of my nose, and that was over.
By the way, did you buy the home version of the camera up your nose?
I did. Yeah, I did. Just so I can look at it on my own.
Listen, I've had a camera shoved up my ass, and I'm not kidding. And I wasn't making a porny. No, it was another one of those prostate things, yeah.
You had the camera in your bum.
Did you watch it as it was taking the tour?
No, I'm just so humiliated. By that point, it was like, oh my God.
Just do it.
I just laid there. No, I don't.
Laid there.
I don't care to see the inside of anus. No. Mm-mm.
Inside. Fred's a bum yeah. bum.
But, you know, and I'm going to the States, you know, I should do some research. Number one, apparently I can get this test at a much reduced cost in the United States, this one that's required.
On the way back.
On the way back, yeah.
But if I get to the, say I test positive and I get to the Canadian border, they let me come into my own country, don't they? And allow me to go home
He said that earlier, Dan. I don't know.
They're not going to make me stay in Buffalo, are they?
Yeah. You have to live in Buffalo with Buffalo Boy.
Yeah. Maybe there's a strict quarantine once if that's identified. I don't know.
You know, that's
yeah,
a really good question, home. Though, Fred. If you are positive, do they let you back in the country?
Yeah. Or would I have to be like at the Havanap Motel in goddamn Cheektowaga for 2 weeks?
No, you go stay in Fredonia. Fucking Fredonia.
That's a good question. When you're coming back, Howard, too, because you're leaving today.
I already have my test booked in Italy for the way home.
But if it does test positive, what do you do? That's a good question.
I do the Italian Humble and Fred show. Humble Fredo. Humble Fredo. Ha ha, farty, farty, bum, bum.
Where are you flying out of?
To come home?
Yeah.
I fly out of Marco Polo fucking airport.
Marco.
Marco. I do. That's the Venice airport. Hey, Marco Polo. Yeah. I'm flying out of Marco Polo to London Heathrow and then London home.
You find your gate that way? You yell Marco. And then
Marco Polo. I just know I'm not going through Germany again. I told Dan that joke about having to change planes in Frankfurt and running for the tram, and this German guy's going, come this way, and I go around a corner and there's a bunch of people getting on a train. I'm like, not this time, Germany. Not again. Fool me once. Fool me once, you fuckers. That train's not going to the other terminal. I saw that movie. It's a terrible, terrible thing to say. Okay, boys. So tomorrow,
what about Dan? I thought we were asking Dan about the Joe Rogan thing.
He didn't want to. So you heard about the story?
Okay,
but you do it.
Well, Joe Rogan claims that he can fillet himself, but because he's so flexible, and giving your, you know, your legendary reputation. We were just wondering if, you know, you could do it like even standing up, like while driving.
Yeah, like with Dan, we just imagine like, it's like answering the phone. And Fred is like, hello.
Hello. Like right now. Like right. Anything.
Could you stick it in your ear if you want? Hello.
Yes, Dan, if you would rather
hang on
not.
A second. This penis is for you. Hang on a second. Whose is this?
If you'd rather not answer this, then that's fine. But no, we had to ask. Hey, we wouldn't be the journalists we are without asking.
Well, yeah, hard-hitting questions.
Yes, that's right. We're the Woodward and Bernstein of fart jokes. We're investigative reporters. All right, thanks to Adam Groh, adamgroh.com. Tomorrow, Dan Duran will be co-hosting. Fred will be hosting this program. And their guests will include Liz West. On Wednesday, Bruce Dobigan. And to round out the week, a friend of Dan's, Linda Cash, former co-host of the Dan Duran Morning Show and the Philadelphia Cream Cheese Angel. Boys, looking
There's
forward to
There's an hour right there.
What's that?
There's an hour right there, Philadelphia Cream Cheese.
Exactly. There you go. Well, listen. Good luck, everyone, and I will see you in 2 weeks from today. We'll be back.
We'll have a good time.
Thank you, you too, when you're going to South Carolina.
Yeah.
Don't get into any fights.
Crazy town.
Are you going to wear a mask?
Yeah, I got an N95.
All right.
Okay. Oh, yeah, major.
And Dan Duran, we look forward to hearing the stories of you and your mouse and how much more seamless the production of this show will be.
I can't wait.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah, all right, everyone, we'll see you in a couple weeks. Take care.
Okay, bye.
That was a good drum break. Pick yourself up off the side of the road with the elevator balls.